Chapter 48. The house phone was ringing as I walked in the front door. Hurrying to answer, I checked caller ID and didn't recognize the number. Was it a crank call? The same mysterious voice that had called with a warning? I could let the machine answer, or I could pick it up and try to put an end to this. If this was the same man who had called before, warning me to back off from the Carver murders, now was my chance to tell him I was out of it, well and good, and he could stop pestering me. "Hello?" I said, speaking into the receiver. A deep male voice came across the line.
"Look, I'm tired of playing games, Ms. McNeil. You have something we want. Miss Evangeline was seen handing it to you the night before she died. Bring it with you to the farm and do it quick. You have 30 minutes and that's all. Better get started if you want to see your precious dog alive again."
My heart lurched and my breath caught in my throat. My dog? Frantically, I searched the room, calling Ulysses. No answering bark greeted me. I didn't hear him anywhere. I ran upstairs, looking into every room, then down again. Carrying the phone with me, I rushed from window to window, straining to catch a glimpse of Ulysses anywhere in the yard. Both house and yard were empty. Anger boiled like a geyser inside me, choking me, anger and fear. I licked my dry lips, my lungs felt squeezed as I choked out the words.
"Do you have my dog? Why? What have you done with him? You'd better not hurt him in any way, do you hear me? It'll be the last vile thing you do if you harm Ulysses."
He laughed a low and sinister sound.
"I don't believe you have anything to say about it. If you value that hound, you'd better bring what Miss Evangeline gave you and come to the main house at the farm. Now! Don't tell your boyfriend cop or those two you hang around with. Remember, your dog is at our mercy. Come alone. If there's any sign that you've brought company, you'll never see your pet again. I'd advise you to hurry."
I heard Ulysses bark, and then the line went dead. My hands shook as I replaced the receiver. Taking a deep breath, I tried to think clearly. The Carver kin believed Miss Evangeline had given me something. What? The watch? Her last wishes? Her will? Then it hit me. They weren't sure what she had given me. They hadn't named anything. What did they think she gave me? A will? Whose will? Hers or Judson Carver's? Or did they think she had given me something that would incriminate one of them? My whirling brain settled on one thought. If they believed she had given me a will, I'd be happy to produce one. Trotting to my desk, I pulled out a white legal-size envelope. Folding a couple of pieces of white paper, I slid them inside. On the outside of the envelope, I scribbled, "Last Will and Testament." Then I stuffed it into my purse. All I could think about was Ulysses at the mercy of those ruthless people. If someone out there hadn't blinked at murdering 3 women, what chance did he have? Even in my agitation, I knew I'd better let someone know what was happening, but if I told anyone, it might put Ulysses in danger. Cade would be in Tulsa with Marianne. He might not even come over tonight, or maybe he would and he'd bring Marianne with him. I should be back with Ulysses in hand long before anyone knew I was gone, but just in case I wasn't, I scribbled a note saying Ulysses had been kidnapped, and I had gone to the farm. Leaving it under a coffee cup on the dining table, I slipped into my coat and ran out to my car. Thoughts whirled through my mind as I drove like a madwoman over the roads toward the Carver farm. I would wave the envelope under the kidnapper's nose and hope he believed it was a will, but as soon as he saw what was inside, Ulysses and I would be in jeopardy. What could I do to stall until we were in my car and on our way back home? I would have to play it by ear, and I prayed that I could bluff them. I didn't have a plan beyond doing whatever it took to get Ulysses safely away. The countryside passed in a blur as I sped toward the Carver mansion. At last, the turnoff to the house came in sight. I yanked the steering wheel. The car slid, then righted itself. Braking at the end of the drive, I leaned my head on the wheel, breathed a prayer, and tried to think of what I should do next. take the envelope with me? Tell them I had it, but they wouldn't get it until Ulysses was safe with me? I pushed my purse under the front seat and slammed out of the car. If they couldn't see the envelope, at least they couldn't take it away from me. Maybe I'd have a few minutes to get Ulysses into the car. The mansion loomed before me, imposing and grim. Why had I ever thought it was beautiful? It was a large, forbidding pile of bricks that housed people who would stop at nothing to achieve their aim. I started up the walk, then paused as a portion of sanity returned. If I entered the house, I would be at the mercy of those who waited there. So would Ulysses. Not a good move. I would make them come to me. Anger settled down from being hot and consuming into a cold, deadly knot in my stomach. I refused to be a victim. This person, or persons as the case might be, was evil. I would not let them get the upper hand. I would not go to them, obedient and frightened. Returning to my car, I leaned inside and pressed the horn. I kept pressing it, filling the deadly quiet with sound. The voice behind me was loud. "Quit that infernal noise!" I jumped and whirled around. No one was there. The person had spoken from the shelter of the trees. "Give me that paper," it said. I took a deep breath to steady my voice. "You've got to be crazy. Give me my dog first." "The paper," he said. I put my hand on the car's door handle. "No." A low laugh sent chills down my spine. From the shadows of the trees stepped a tall, dark figure. Mick Morrow. As he came toward me, I contemplated trying to jump back into my car, but I knew I wouldn't be able to scramble inside and lock the door before he reached me. I felt for my cell phone and remembered I had dropped it into my purse after recharging it the night before, and my purse was under the seat. I edged around the front of the car, closer and closer to the house. If I ran, so would Morrow, and his legs were longer than mine. I backed up, keeping my eyes on Mick. He came toward me, taking his time and grinning as I walked backward. I didn't know I had reached the house until I stumbled on the steps. Fumbling behind me, I felt the door and turned the knob. The door swung open. Like a shot, a blur of fur and fury rushed past me and launched himself at Mick. Ulysses! He was alive! Morrow stumbled and went down under my dog's onslaught. His head whacked the sidewalk and he lay still. Tears of relief moistened my eyes. "Good boy, Ulysses," I said as he looked up at me. He started toward me, tail wagging, a goofy grin on his face. But before he could reach me, hands grabbed my arms, yanked me inside the building, and slammed the door.